So welcome, everybody. Welcome to Saints that are here with me and those that are gathered online. I want to thank you for coming together to go to God's Word. And I just ask and hope and pray that this time together in the Word will be a blessing to all of us as we seek to know God and glorify Him in His Word together. What a glorious thing we get to do. So today's message is we're going into the meaning of being born again, the meaning of being born again. And I always like when I do these fellowship recordings to remind everyone, have a piece of paper and a pencil, because sometimes Brother Jim might move a little fast. I try to control that, but sometimes I do. And write down every verse that I give you, and then go back in your own study time, test it, make sure I'm doing it in context, test me to the Word, and that'll be a blessing to you, so you don't have to be lost if I'm in the middle of a recording. Make sure you write everything down. And so we're working on what it means to be born again. We've already covered in our gospel series, Faith in Christ. We covered repentance not too long ago. And you can go to don'tperish.com. Anybody that's going to listen to this later, click on the gospel link at don'tperish.com, and you're going to find the links of all of these. Eventually, we're going to work through all five aspects of the gospel. So we're continuing on in the five aspects, the path to eternal life, and today we're going to discuss being born again. What a critical, important subject. So as Sister Debbie and I travel and preach, I preach the gospel all over the country, the message of new life, being born again, is going out all the time, going out daily. Any of you listen to my street preaching videos or my teaching audios, you'll hear that going out all the time. And so we want to talk about today, let's go into the deep meaning of what it actually means to be born again. This is very critical. America and the world has some very interesting, strange, and unbiblical ideas of what being born again is. And so this is a very important spiritual concept that we need to get right, study to be approved, as the scripture says. So our foundation verse for this teaching is going to be the famous, well-known John chapter 3. Jesus is speaking to a religious leader of the day called a Pharisee. And let's read through that. We're going to go through verse 1 through verse 8. And let's read through that together here real quick. So starting with verse 1. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Verse 4, Nicodemus said unto him, How can a man be born again when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born of water and of spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Verse 6, that which is born of flesh is the flesh, and that which is born of the spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I say unto thee, ye must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and heareth the sound thereof, but can't tell not whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So it is everyone that is born of the Spirit. So hold your place if you're following along in your Bibles. Hold your place there, because we're going to talk about some of those verses. We're going to go on to other verses, and then we're going to circle back around to John 3 again. So let me tell you a quick story. I recently, a couple months ago, had a false teacher, modern pastor, and he got up in front of his religious body and did a sermon about me because I had tested him. And in this sermon, he talked about how I preach that you must be born again. And he said, quote, Jesus never preached to people to be born again. And Sister Debbie and I looked at each other and I was like really set back. And I think you just heard it. 7 or 8 times in John 3, Jesus says, be born again. So this is a lot of the common misconception out there. People know about born again, but they don't focus on it. We know if God's word tells us to do something once, it's important. Well, here in this area of scripture, we have it 7 or 8 times, so we need to pay really good attention. And I also want to bring your attention to the word verily. Several times Jesus said, verily, verily. That's kind of, go ahead, look up the Greek. It means attention, attention. It means important. Listen up. So this is obviously a very important lesson. So yeah, that modern pastor had it way wrong. Jesus clearly taught people that you must be born again. So another side note here, just a quick side note. A lot of people on this scripture verse 2 talk about the Pharisee came to Jesus by night. Now, we don't know a lot about this, but I have heard a lot of people say, well, that meant he was sneaking around at night. He didn't want to come in the daytime and talk to Jesus in front of all of his peers. So they kind of allude to, well, he's kind of a seeker and he was embarrassed to go ask, but he still was seeking. So I can kind of relate to that, because when I'm out street preaching, I'll see a group of people go by and 15 of them are laughing and mocking, and I see one or two that kind of want to hang out and listen, and they shake their head up and down and say, yeah, that might be true. They kind of want to maybe reach out for a piece of truth, but they know that the crowd's going to mock them. So, but that's encouraging to me, and that might be a sign of a seeker or a possible sheep. So maybe this Pharisee Nicodemus was in fact, and we know if you read on about Nicodemus, you see in fact he was indeed a seeker. So I just wanted to throw that side note in there. So the basic concept about this topic that we really need to grasp is, why do we need this new birth, born again, or new life? Well, I think unless you just came to the faith, everyone's pretty familiar with the fact that mankind from the garden fell into sin, and that sin leads to death. Now, because of that, we need to be regenerated, have new life. We need to be reconciled to the Father for eternity. Without that, we're separated from the Father. And this life in Christ, if you really think about it, it really is all about the heart. And the heart just really means the center of our being, all that we really are. And it brings us either to our condemnation if we refuse the truth or fall away from the truth, or it's going to bring us to glorification with the Father if we endure. So it's all about a heart issue. And I like to tell people, I've used this before, that people need a spiritual heart transplant. So think about that. Someone's sick, their heart is failing, they maybe need a heart surgery or heart transplant. Well, we, dead in our sins, needed a spiritual heart transplant. So hopefully that could help illustrate for people why we need this. Now, on that note about illustrating that, have you ever wondered if you witness to religious people or live with religious people who say they believe in Jesus, but they have very little fear of God, they don't desire holiness, they aren't bearing much fruit in Him, and they really don't obey Him much? Well, this is a heart issue. Let me read to you Proverbs 28:14. They're probably still dead in their sins, not born again. They're religious, they believe, so does Satan and the demons, and they tremble, but they haven't been made new. So Proverbs 28:14 says, "Happy is the man that feareth always, but he that harden his heart shall fall into mischief." Now remember that hardened heart. That's going to come up again when we go to some more verses. Remember that hardened heart. And Jesus says in Luke 6, I love this, "A good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is good, and an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is evil. For of the abundance of the heart his mouth does speak." You know, I see this all the time. This is a heart issue. It's real. And when I'm out street preaching and I'll get somebody that says, yeah, I'm a Christian, and they'll stop and talk to me for a little while, and they end up getting mad, and oftentimes they'll end up cussing, swearing, or doing vulgar things. A lot of times it's their words. And you see what's in their heart. They're claiming Christ, but what's in their heart just comes flying out of their mouth. And so this is a real problem. So remember that heart issue. That's what this is all about. And via Christ and His shed blood, God has made a way for us to have this spiritual heart transplant. So keep that in mind. So let's look at verse 3 in John 3. Verse 3. We see Jesus saying, you must be born again. All right? And if you go back and look at that sometime, spend some time just reading that over, it confused this Pharisee, and it confuses many people today. Kind of confused me when I first started thinking about this concept. But many think that it's a mere head knowledge or belief in Jesus. Many people think, well, I go to church, so I must be born again. Some people think I stopped doing drugs and alcohol, so I must be born again. Some people have some kind of emotional experience, or they're doing good works they never did before, and they think that they must be born again, but that clearly is not true, because all of those things can happen to a spiritually dead, cold-hearted person. So there must be something more that has to happen. So let's keep going in Scripture, and it's going to tell us what this is. So we always like to go to the Greek and the Hebrew words. I encourage you to test, use a good version like King James, but test the Greek and the Hebrew words to give you more rounded meanings. If we look at the Greek word for born, it's the Greek word geno, and it means to, this is great, it means to bring forth, regenerate, right? And if we look at the Greek for again, it's anothen, and it means from above. Isn't that interesting? So let's put this together. So born again, which is what most virgins say, most translations say, it actually is better understood if we say it this way, born or brought forth, regenerated from above. Think about that. How different is that from just saying I'm born again? And that's confusing. I don't know what that means. To be born or brought forth, regenerated from above. And then also, do your Greek word study. You have to throw the idea of anew in there. So you could say you're brought forth, regenerated anew from above. See how those words add a lot more meaning for us. What a glorious thing to consider that we've sinned, we've damaged and destroyed much, but God, through His grace, love, and mercy, can renew us through this process of salvation and sanctification. So most people that I encounter, and Sister Debbie and I, when we go out and do ministry, they're born of man-made religion, or they're born of their own false ideas. I'm a Baptist, I'm a Lutheran, I'm Jehovah's Witness, or everybody's going to heaven, universalism. But by their fruit, Jesus said, you will know them. And we'll talk about that a little bit later. John 15, we'll talk about that a little bit later, the fruit of people, how we can know if they truly are born again. So I want to bring to notice here in John 3, notice in verses 3 and verse 5, Jesus mentions the kingdom of God. This is really important. Most people today in American churchianity, and what I've seen all over the world really, are focused on their own life, their belief, their head knowledge in Jesus, and their real focus is, I want to get to heaven. I want to make sure that I get to heaven. So they see this born again and this salvation as, it's my ticket out of here to go to heaven when I die. But what they really are lacking is what Jesus talked about. Remember, he said, verily, verily, they're lacking on the focus of the kingdom of God now. And that will change you. And this is what his spirit does. His spirit gives us that focus on eternal things. And we live for the kingdom of God now, not just a get out of hell card, as some people say. All right. And Jesus told us that the spirit is within us today. And that makes sense, doesn't it? Via the Holy Spirit. And that we know by reading the scriptures that the Spirit, the kingdom of God is going to come one day in all power and glory. He's going to take over the earth. He's going to renew everything. But think of that. How focused are you on a daily basis to the kingdom of God? Living it out here, obeying the word of God, glorifying God, wanting to spread the kingdom of God, being part of the kingdom of God, sharing it with other believers, the kingdom of God, versus just, oh, I'm born again, I want to go to heaven. Totally different mindset. And so a lot of people miss that in John 3:3. They focus on the born again, and they don't see that Jesus is talking about focusing on the kingdom of God. So this focusing on the kingdom of God, the Holy Spirit that is within us, it acts as a beacon that points us, okay? I remember one time, a quick story. One time I was out, and this is when I was a pagan, I was out hunting, and I was out way up in the mountains in Colorado, miles and miles from anyone. And it was a cold, fall, rainy, snowy day. And I went out in the woods without my pack, where I usually bring a tent and food. I went with nothing, and I got lost. And it was getting dark, and I was getting freaked out, scared. And I was sweaty, and I was getting cold. And then I remembered that the only thing I threw in my backpack was a GPS unit, global positioning unit, because we didn't think we were going far. And I pulled that thing out, and in the dark, we didn't even have a flashlight, that GPS unit, an hour and a half later, guided us back to our truck. And otherwise, I would have been stranded on that mountain with no hope of getting off all night. Who knows what would have happened? So for me, my experiences, I like to think of the Holy Spirit within us. He's that homing beacon that is always pointing us towards heaven, towards good, pure, true, what's worthy, what's noble. And if you don't have that via being born again, born from above, renewed, regenerated. If you don't have that, you don't have that homing beacon to eternity. You miss the kingdom of God, and you're going to miss the truth of God. You can't discern it rightly. You won't have the power to live. So that story always has illustrated for me that the Holy Spirit is always, always guiding us, and it's so vital in our lives. So moving on, we know from John 14:6, famous verse, Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. So to be made new, to be regenerated in him, he's the only way to eternal life. We have to come through him, through his Spirit. Our flesh is fallen in sin, and it leads us to death. Romans 6:23 tells us that. Sin leads to death. So we need this eternal spiritual rejuvenation of new life, being born from above. I know when I go out preaching, I probably do say, be born again, or you must be born again. I really need to practice more to say, born from above. I really like that a lot better, and it's these things that we get trained into, like using the word church instead of the word called out ones. We get trained into these mindsets, so we have to kind of retrain ourselves. So I'm really going to focus on trying to use born from above, because I think that's really beautiful, because that's really what we are. So let's go back to John 3, verse 4. And this Pharisee is thinking in his flesh and he can't grasp it. And Jesus tries to redirect him by saying, this is of the Spirit, verse 5. That's always human nature, isn't it? The human nature always seems to go to the flesh because it lacks the Spirit of God. And again, this is why we need the transforming power of the Spirit of God in us, because without it, you can't even see truth. You can't even grasp it. And that's why when we preach, we tell people to open the Bible, seek and ask the Lord for wisdom. Ask him to open your eyes, because the Bible says God will begin to grant repentance, show you things if you're seeking him. Draw near to God, he'll draw near to you, right? And so that's why we tell people it's hard for them to see a lot, but they can begin to see a little. And so Jesus is redirecting this Pharisee. I don't know about you folks listening in, when I was in my flesh, dead, not born again, I did not see anything like what I see now. I read the Bible, it seemed like a dead, static word in so many ways. But now when I read it, it's alive and it's real and it jumps out at me. So this is all a work of the Spirit that is in us. So think about that when you're sharing with people. There's a good chance most everybody you're talking to is not born again. So you need to make sure and pray that you're tweaking it so that you can be saying things and showing them scripture that will prick their conscience, as we say, and then God can convict them and lead them. Spoon feeding them is basically how we can do that. So this whole concept, it stumbles a lot of people, but a simple, important point will help people. This helped me. I like to remind people, as Jesus did, that there's flesh and there's spirit. We have to remember that. Now, man, again, is always ignoring this. I like to use this little example when I'm out witnessing. When I look at people and I say, let me ask you a question. Were you born into your family with your mom and dad? And they go, yeah. And I go, you were born in the flesh, right? They go, yeah. And then I look at them and I ask them, when were you spiritually born into the family of God? Most times they look at me like, what? They've never even thought of that concept. Born again in America is like reading your Bible and going to church. Pretty much. But when you say, have you been born again into the spiritual, or born from above, there you go, born from above in the spiritual family of God, it gives them reason to ponder, consider, and to probe. So that's what we want to try to get them to do. So this whole process is by faith in Christ's shed blood and his resurrection, through repentance, turning, changing our mind, coming out of our sin, we get a new spiritual infusion from God's Spirit to give us eternal life and not eternal separation and damnation away from the Father. Romans 8:1 tells us if we walk in the Spirit, it's life to us, but if we walk in the flesh, it's going to mean death and separation. All right? So that's very critical, and I think I'm going to stop right here on part one, then we're going to come back to part two. Okay, this is Brother Jim. We're back to part two on what it means to be born again. So we just went over Romans 8:1, to walk in the Spirit is life, to walk in the flesh, or to be carnal-minded. That's what carnal-minded is, the flesh, means death. Now, when we have faith in Christ, it shows out and we're willing to repent. We want to obey. and we enter a blood covenant with him. That's what we're in. We're in the new blood covenant, Matthew 26. And at some point, when the Father decides, not you, me, anybody else, he sends us the Holy Spirit. This is to be born from above. And if you go read Ephesians 1, verse 13, it talks about that we're sealed with the Holy Spirit. And Calvinism tries to tell you that means you're guaranteed eternal life. No, no. I have a whole article on that, the teaching blog. Seal just simply means it's an earnest. That's what it means. Like earnest money on a car or a house you want to buy. It holds the deal till you complete payment. And so we are sealed with the Holy Spirit, which means God gave us a down payment for what's to come, either at our death or when he comes back for us. So what a beautiful thing. He gives us the Spirit to help us, and we'll talk about that right here, what it means when we get the Spirit and why we need it. The core of the born-again idea is a new heart, regeneration, creation, a recreation of us via God's Holy Spirit. And this is beautiful because if you think about it, if you go read the book of John, around 14, 15, 16, the Holy Spirit comes to manifest unto us. Jesus said, I will manifest myself unto you. And this is beautiful because the Holy Spirit, the Bible tells us, he comes to convict. That's what he'll do to unbelievers when we're preaching the gospel. He comes to teach, and he comes to comfort us. What a glorious thing that we get to have. Gives us the power to be able to learn, walk, be able to stand, to be able to witness, to be able to carry out everything God has called us to do. And the glorious thing is Jesus promised us this when he went to go to be at the right hand of the Father. I remember it was so sad, so glorious, he gets to go to be at the right hand of the Father, but so sad for the disciples, because I was thinking, wow, how sad they must have been, Jesus leaving them. Don't leave us, Master. And he said, I will send the Comforter. I will manifest myself to you. And that's what he did in the Holy Spirit. So that's what's part of this whole born again process that God does in us. So I would be remiss if I didn't bring this point up. The Holy Spirit being born from above, coming to dwell in us, it's similar to when God dwelled in the tabernacle with his people in Israel, because now we are the temple of God. Think about that. This is a transformation from the Old Testament. There's a whole bunch of transformations from the Old Testament that we're all outside and we're all physical. And that in the New Covenant, it all becomes inside and spiritual, like dress, like music, like sacrifices, like circumcision. But this one, the temple used to be a tent. Now this fleshly tent is the temple of God. 1 Corinthians 3, verse 16 tells us that. And as a side note to all my close brothers and sisters who know us, this is why true biblical Bereans, studying and seeking for truth and holiness that are born from above, they understand the importance of how to dress our temple, ladies to head cover, because God, go back and read in the Old Testament, do a word search on the word temple or tabernacle. God was very concerned about the details of his temple and how he had men build it, construct it, take care of it. We are wonderfully made in his image. I think it's really important that we need to clothe ourselves appropriately if we're now the temple of God. So that's a really important point. So we talked about the Holy Spirit coming, and for this teaching, I'm not gonna go into this kind of almost a whole separate teaching, but for a study point and a homework exercise for you, go read the book of Acts chapter 2, and you're going to see where the Holy Spirit first fell and indwelled God's people born from above, versus in the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit came and he was upon David, or he was upon the prophets, but he wasn't dwelling within them. And I just want to bring up some points here because I'm going to talk about it a little bit later in the teaching. What we see in Acts 2, we saw visual flames. Nobody was physically burning or hot and on fire. It was a visual flame on their heads. We heard a mighty rushing wind. We're going to talk about that. We heard languages spoken from men in all different countries that had never known anyone else's language. So the Holy Spirit did the gift of tongues, all in order, all controlled, miracle signs for that time that God was using to jumpstart the early body of Christ. All right? And that's been really corrupted today, and we're going to talk about that a little bit. But clearly, the Spirit does not move the same exact way today as it was moving back then, even though the Holy Spirit is still moving, He's still teaching, He's still convicting, and yes, He can heal. I believe in miracles. Yes, I believe He could do the gift of tongues, but I also believe it's severely abused, and it's part of the great deception today. So that's something to consider. Whenever you hear about people's testimony, you know, I've heard things where people are laying on the ground crying and doing all kinds of, you know, and there's nothing wrong with crying, but and we'll just talk about that a little bit later, some of the false manifestations of the Holy Spirit. So we see that the flames, the wind, intelligible language of tongues, but it was orderly and controlled. God does everything in order. And remember, when people say, oh, God's still the same, nothing changes, well, that's actually not true. God is always the same. His immutable character never changes. Holiness, obedience, righteousness, but how He deals with man is always changing. I'm thankful for that, because in the Old Testament, it was a harsh, brutal death if you broke the law. Today, we have grace and mercy, and we have this Spirit that guides us and teaches us. What a wonderful thing that we have. So God is still the same, but things do change. So we're talking about new birth from above via God's Holy Spirit. And just ponder this for a second. This all really makes sense if you consider this is all around Jesus. He's our foundation. He's the whole reason this happens. And He's our Redeemer. Psalm 19, verse 14. Psalm 19, verse 14. It says this, "Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer." I like that. In Hebrew, the word redeemer is, I think it's goal, and it means to purchase back, to bring forth from death. Isn't that beautiful? Goes right along with being regenerated and being born from above. And John 6:33 tells us Jesus comes to bring and give us life. So we're seeing it all tie together here. The Messiah is coming. He dies. He rises again. He defeats death. His blood brings us life and cleanses us. And the Spirit is coming in us as an earnest and a down payment to help us walk. What a beautiful, glorious thing that we have in all of this. So before we go back and look at another really important aspect of John 3 that I think many people overlook, I want to go and look at some other verses in the Old Testament and the New Testament. All right. And the idea of a new life, a new heart, is not new to the New Testament. It's laid out in the entire scriptures. You can find it in the Old Testament, and God promised that it would come. So I'm going to take you through some scriptures, and there's lots of them. I'm going to take you through just a few right here. Psalm 51, verse 10. And it says, "Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit in me." So this, again, was the Spirit on men, but He wasn't fully indwelling yet. The baptism of the Holy Spirit didn't come yet. But we can see it's pointing to that, to renewing us and creating me a clean heart. And you're going to see that come together here. Ezekiel 19:11. "And I will give them one heart, and I will put in a new spirit within you, and I will take out the stony heart out of their flesh and will give them a heart of flesh." Think about that stony. We're going to talk about that in a minute. Here's God's promise all the way going back to Ezekiel of this born from above, regeneration, being made new. Back to the book of Ezekiel again, Ezekiel 18. Verse 31, "Wherefore I will judge you, O house of Israel, everyone according to his ways, saith the Lord thy God. Repent, turn ye from yourselves and all your transgressions, so iniquity shall not be your ruin. Cast away from you all your transgressions, whereby you have transgressed, and make you a new heart and a new spirit. For why will ye die, O house of Israel?" I love this part. "For I have no pleasure in the death of him that dieth, saith the Lord. Wherefore, turn yourselves and live ye." Hey, go read that verse again, Ezekiel 18:31. So much for the people that say God doesn't expect you to do anything. It's unconditional. God's calling them out of their sin and their transgressions. That's making themselves eligible for this grace of God, isn't it? Yeah, it is. So we see the new heart. We see repenting and obedience. It's going to be coming up in the next part of our series. So always remember that. Faith and repentance and new life is always followed by obedience to the scriptures. Ezekiel 36, 26. A new heart also I will give you, and a new spirit I will put within you. I will take away the stony heart, there's the stony heart again, out of your flesh, and I'll give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and ye shall keep my judgments and do them. Hey, there's obedience again. Now remember I talked about the stony heart? We've heard that a couple times here. In Hebrew, the word stony is eben. It means a stone, all right? This picture going out in your backyard or in the road and looking at a big stone, what is it? It's hard, it's dead, it's lifeless. No life in them, all right? This was Israel's problem all along. And this is man's problem today. Not much has changed, unregenerated man. And so when we witness to the world, the lost world, or even religious folks, you can see it in them. They have a deadness in them. They have a dead heart. And many times it comes out in their actions. What they need, if they'll turn and yield and begin to listen, God will convict them. He'll show them what they need. He'll draw them. The goodness of God leads to repentance, right? He'll draw them in. So that deadness, that stone of heart, is what this being born again is all about. God is going to transform it. And I can just speak my testimony that God took my heart. I didn't love people. I didn't care about people. I didn't care about the world. I didn't even care about myself anymore. And when I became born again, God began to do a work in me. And today, I believe I'm much more loving and caring and considerate, not to my credit, because of everything that God's done to me. I always tell people in the street that if it wasn't for God, I wouldn't be out here caring about you. I wouldn't have nothing to say to you. I'd be doing something else, and it wouldn't be nothing to do with you. The reason I'm here preaching the gospel is because I love you. And so that should be a testimony to the changing power of this Holy Spirit that comes in us via new creation of the gospel. How about Deuteronomy chapter 10? God talks about, I will circumcise therefore the foreskin of your heart and be no more stiff-necked. Now think about that. God was requiring men to have circumcision. It was an outside physical thing. Here God is pointing to when they're going to get that new heart. That heart of stone is going to be changed. God's going to cut that away. Remember Hebrews 4? The word of God is a sword and it cuts, 4:12. And they'll no more be stiff-necked. This is that change of mind. It's a change of heart. It leads you to obedience to the Lord. And it was way back then, it was a forerunner of what Jesus is talking about in John 3. Jesus quoted the Old Testament quite a bit. So God put circumcision on the Jews. And again, it was the cutting of their flesh. I think that's really important to know. The outside going to the inside. We can't do that today. We can't circumcise our hearts. God can do that via the Holy Spirit, and he brings us to regeneration. So let's move forward, and let's cover some verses in the New Testament. Now, remember the story I told you about the false pastor who said, Brother Jim preaches, repent, be born from above, be born again. Well, I went and I did a count. Born again, born from above, new life, new creation, regeneration. It's used over 25 times in the New Testament. 25 times. That's not counting the Old Testament. That's just the New Testament. So here's some of them. It's really important. And so here are some of them we'll go over. Titus 3, verse 5. Not by works of righteousness which you have done, but according to his mercy he saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. I got to tell you a quick story here. Sister Debbie washes our clothes on the road. When my shirts get all sweaty and dirty, she washes them. They're all dirty. And when she washes them, when I put them on after they dry, they're like new again. She cleanses them with the soapy water, and they're like a new shirt. And this is what God does to us, our insides, our spirit. He gives us his spirit, transforms us, and the blood of Christ, 1 John says, washes and cleanses us. This is all part of that new regeneration, and you feel like you've got a brand new life in Christ as you enter into the kingdom of God. What a glorious thing it is. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 23. seeing you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that you love one another with a pure heart fervently, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. Oh, I love that verse. And did you notice? Purifying your souls in obeying the truth. There's that pesky obedience that just keeps coming up that so many people in the world say, you don't have to really obey and keep the word of God. Oh, the Bible tells us the fruit that we have the Spirit, it's good for us. It glorifies God. It helps our walk is to obey. Now in this verse, 1 Peter 1:23, we just read, the Greek word is agonoia. It means born again, produce again, begotten. Hey, when you think of begotten, what do you think of? You think of Christ, don't you? Well, we're also born again by God, right? We're born again by His Spirit. So that's an awesome, awesome thing to consider. Moving on to Apostle Paul here. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 8. After that, he was seen of James, then of all the apostles. He's talking about Jesus here. And last of all, he was seen of me also as one born out of due time. So we know about Apostle Paul. Go back in the book of Acts chapter 9. Read about his, and in the whole book of Acts, read about his transformation. He was a religious, stiff-necked Pharisee, even murdering people. And the Spirit of God, after meeting Jesus, convicting his heart, transforming him, he becomes a trusted brother and Lord. I can't wait to meet Brother Paul one day. 1 John 2:29. 1 John is a great book to read, and it uses born again, born from above, more than any other book, so I encourage you to go read the whole book of 1 John. If ye know that he is righteous, ye know that everyone that doeth righteousness is born of him. So righteousness, doing what is right in God's eyes, by his law, by his word. You're born of God, you're going to do righteousness. If you meet people that say they're born of God and they don't care about righteousness, they're fooling themselves. They're not born of the Spirit of God. They may be born of some other spirit, but they're not born of the Spirit of God. I got another scripture verse for you here. Oh, this one's a good one. Sister Debbie and I is one of our favorites. 2 Corinthians 5:17. I'm going to read more than just 17. And that he died for all, that they which live should not be henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. There's that new life right there, right? Rose again. Wherefore henceforth know we no man after the flesh, yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth we know him no more. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature, new creation, born from above, born anew. All things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. Hold to that, saints. Think about that. Let me stop in the middle of that. All things are washed away. That means everything from your past has been washed away when you're born again. Don't ever let anybody deceive you that some things don't get washed away. All means all. Moving on. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. Hey, there's one word we didn't talk about. The Holy Spirit is reconciling us through Christ back to God. What a beautiful thing, huh? To wit, that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. There he uses that word two more times. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in God's stead, be reconciled unto God. I love this part. For he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we may be made the righteousness of God in him. Folks, right there, that is our hope. Without that, you know, people always accusing Brother Jim, oh, you're teaching works-based salvation. Oh, no. That is my go-to verse, among many others, about Christ shed blood for our righteousness. We cannot make it without Christ. He's our foundation. He's our everything. And through repentance and being born again, these works of holiness and obedience, desiring in us, created a new heart in us, wanting to follow after God. If you don't want to stop all your sin, you really need to check your heart. You need a new heart before God to make it into the kingdom. And if you don't hate all your sin, and you don't want all truth, that's really a sign that you may not be born from above. So something to consider. I love that verse. It's a great verse. So again, being born again or being born from above is not just a get to heaven event. I really want to drive that home. It's a process by which we're drawn to God, we're made alive, we're reconciled, we're given the power to walk, we're made useful to each other and to service of God, and useful to reach the world. What a marvelous thing. So it's not just getting to heaven. If you think that God sent Christ just to get you to heaven, that's it. You are missing the kingdom of God. We talked about that. You're missing the love of your neighbor. You're missing the love of God. You're missing love of the brethren. All this you're missing, and so you must grasp this correctly and test yourself, 2 Corinthians 13:5, to make sure that you truly are born of God and you're walking in all of his ways. Hey, we went over 21 minutes. We are going to stop here, and we're going to go on and finish up in part 3. Okay, this is Brother Jim. We're back to part 3 on our series about the gospel and talking about what it is to be born again. I want to go back now to John 3. Remember I said we're going to circle around to verse 8. And this is really important here. Many people stumble over this born again issue, and I think this is really important. Jesus says this in verse 8, "The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit." Now just think about this. Jesus is comparing this action, this happening, to the wind, all right? What an interesting concept. When you look up the Greek word for spirit, it's pneuma, almost like pneumonia. Pneuma, spirit means the wind or the breath of God. Isn't that awesome? So we see in Acts 2, the wind comes through as a symbol and a sign. So Jesus is equating this to the wind. Now, another story from Brother Jim. Sister Debbie and I were out west in Wyoming, and we would be out there, and I remember on many occasions, we're in the middle of nowhere, and it was as calm could be, hot. And all of a sudden, I looked across the field, and I was like, grab the chairs, hold everything down. And about a 40-mile-an-hour wind, what they called them gusters, I think, about a 40-mile-an-hour wind came through, and for 10 minutes, we were holding down everything, covering our eyes from the dust, tumbleweeds flying by us. And you know, as soon as it came, it left, and it was gone, and it was calm. And it was a total mystery to us. We didn't know where it came from. We didn't know how long it was going to stay. We didn't know where it was going. We didn't know it was going to come back. We knew not. We knew nothing. And this reminds me what Jesus is saying about the Spirit. And this could be a whole teaching. This could be a whole teaching itself. But what I really wanted you to focus on here is that this new birth of the Spirit, how it will happen to us and others, is not something we can directly put our finger on. We can't control it. We can't time it out. It's an act of God, not man, not me, not you. And it will come as he sees fit. We can't add to the scriptures. We can't take things out of the scriptures that aren't there. The Bible tells us very little about the details of exactly how the Spirit works. You know, Paul talked about things are a mystery. You know, God leaves some things a mystery to us. That's okay. As his children, we're supposed to trust. Small children trust in their parents. They don't understand how the car works, but dad says, get in, we're driving, and they know it works. So we need to trust in God. We don't know how this Spirit thing works. So think of the wind. You see it coming? Not really, unless you see the trees move. In fact, you don't even see the wind. You see the trees moving in the wind. Interesting concept. So men have asked me, well, how do I get born again? I can't tell them how to be born again, but what I can do is point them to the gospel and tell them that it's a mystery how it will happen, but by placing their faith in Christ and his finished work and his resurrection, if they'll change their minds, turn from their sin, and seek God in repentance and cry out, God will see. He sees the sparrow fall. And we know from Hebrews 11:6 that he rewards those who diligently seek after him. We know from 2 Peter 3, he wants none to perish. And we know that Jesus said the Father is a good Father, and He will give good things. He won't deny those that are coming for the right reason. So we can't tell someone how to be born again. We can't explain, oh, it happened for me this way, so it's always going to happen that way for someone else. These things are a mystery. Some people had a moment where they said, I knew I was born again instantly. Some people have a period of time, a week or two or a month. Some people have a whole summer where they go, it just happened to me over the summer. I was transformed. So these things happen to people differently, and that's okay. And so it's a mystery. It's the wind that comes, the Spirit comes, that transforms us. We don't have to understand every part of it, but I want you to remember this. We're going to talk about this a little bit. The Spirit always comes in order. It comes in peace. He comes in joy. He comes in a biblical pattern we see in Scripture. He comes in good doctrine, because the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, always backs up the Holy Word of God. And so we're going to mention, I'm going to talk about this in a little bit. Many false spirits are at work in the world today. Do not be deceived. While we can't understand how the Spirit of God works, we know what it not is, what it does not look like. We can't tell you exactly what it looks like every time, but I can tell you what it's not. All right, we'll talk about that in just a little bit. So we can rejoice. God gives us new life. We're transformed. Romans 12, verse 2. This is my favorite verse when I was born again, born from above. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may be proved what is that is good and acceptable and perfect will of God. That's how I describe what happened to me over a period of time. My life and my heart were transformed. I couldn't control it. I didn't even know at the time what was happening. I just wanted the truth of God and what was right for God. And I looked back and saw that was my transforming moment that God, through repentance, He granted it to me. He didn't kill me in my sin, and He allowed me to live and walk into it. So if we go to Matthew chapter 10, Jesus talked about losing our life for Him. We have to lose this life. Paul talks about crucifying our flesh. Well, isn't that beautiful? We lay down this life, and God gives us a new regenerated spirit life inside of us. Isn't that exactly what Christ did? He traded His fleshly life and rose up in the Spirit, and He's asking us to come after Him just in that way. And I can testify to myself, my wife, and other saints we know, this is basically what happened to them. All of them may be a little bit differently, but we see the fruit of holiness and obedience at work in them. That is very important. That's a key. So this born again, born from above experience via Christ's blood, it does a few things. It builds our testimony. It empowers us. It cleanses us. And it gets us ready for the coming tribulation that's coming to the world, that's going to come upon the saints of God. The wrath of Satan is coming, I promise you. Revelation 12, 11. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now is come salvation and strength, and the kingdom of our God, there's the kingdom, and the power of His Christ, for the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accuseth them before our God day and night. And they overcame Him by the blood of the Lamb, by the word of their testimony, and they love not their lives unto death. So quickly, the blood of the Lamb is how we get here, cleansing us, the new life. The word of our testimony, think about that for a moment. When you witness and you get to share with people, know your testimony. Pray about it, seek it, ponder it. You don't have to have anything memorized out, but know your testimony to be able to proclaim that you're a born from above child of God. Bible says that's going to help us overcome. And then living in the Spirit, not in the flesh, not living for this world, not living for family. We live for the spiritual family of God. Not living for material things. It helps us to not love our life unto death. Amen. So that's one of my favorite verses. Being born again helps you do all of those things. And so we need to be centered, and we need to be focused on that. So lastly, finishing up this teaching, I want to quickly talk to you about, and I hinted about it, a dangerous trend in so-called Christianity today. We see it all over. The Word of Faith movement, the New Apostolic Reformation movement, and it's spreading all over. There's men that are claiming the Spirit's coming down on them. All kinds of crazy healings, raising the dead, they claim. Signs and wonders. They're seeing God's presence and glory dust up in the rafters. This crazy thing of being slain in the spirit where you're knocked out and you fall over unconscious. Frantic running around, screaming in great emotion, dancing, jumping around in rowdiness. Crazy things like uncontrollable laughter, people making animal sounds. Folks, I assure you, none of this is of the Father and the Holy Spirit. This is part of the last day deception, demonic deception, that Jesus warned about in Matthew 24, where he said false teachers will come. You're going to see signs and wonders. They're going to say Jesus is here, he's over there. Don't believe them. This is a whole nother teaching, and I've got teachings on this on my Spirit Truth blog. But just a caution for you, if you meet people and they say, yes, I'm born from above, I'm born again, and they claim they're born from God, you know, unless they just were born again yesterday, you should begin to see visible fruit in them. Their life is being transformed. They're desiring change. They're willing to repent. It matches God's word, his teaching, solid doctrine, holiness. This new life and spirit we get does not leave us in darkness, but it calls us to come into the light of Christ, seeking, listening to, obeying his truth. And the evidence will be that a newborn again person, when they hear the truth of God, they want it. They might not understand it, but they're willing to run and repent and get it right and lay down their life. Remember Matthew 10, lose their life for Christ. This is the fruit of God in you. If you claim to be born from above, but you reject sound doctrine, you want to hold to false teaching, you love the things of the world, you like pride and vanity in your dress, you're either very rebellious and you're in great danger, or you're not born again from above and you're in great danger. So in your relationships, that's just something to consider. Don't be deceived by these false teachers. The Holy Spirit of God always acts in order and in accord with what we see in God's word. So I got one more scripture verse for you as we close this out. Ephesians 5, verse 9. For ye were sometimes darkness, but now ye are light in the Lord. Walk as children of the light. We just talked about that, right? And I love this part. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth, proving was it acceptable unto the Lord. Have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. Folks, go back and read the whole chapter of Ephesians 5. Do you see what that's saying? The fruit of the Spirit in you, being born from above, is goodness, righteousness, and truth. You don't know how many people we meet in the streets that claim to be born of God from above. They don't care about righteousness. They don't act in goodness, and they're not seeking truth. Well, you can discern what that means. Many, many false converts and false spirits have gone out before us here in this culture. They've gone out into the world as well. So test those fruits in ourselves. Let those be the ones that reign in us for God's glory, so that we can be about good, righteous, truth works that glorify our Father, proving that we're born of him. This is not works-based salvation. This is living out what you are. If you're an apple tree, what do? You pound out apples, right? If you're born of God, you pound out in life goodness, truth, righteousness, holiness, and obedience. So I'm going to leave it right there. There's a lot more I could say about being born again, but that will get you a good start to understand what it is, the key factors to look for, not to try to figure it out completely, to focus on the Spirit, to test all things, and to ask God to send you that Spirit always to convict you when you need it, teach you. Brother Jim can speak all day, but that's the Holy Spirit that's really going to teach you and bring these things deep inside you, and then to be comforted by the Holy Spirit as we enter in these terrible days that we're entering in. We're going to need the comfort of the Holy Spirit. So I hope this teaching on being born from above, hey, I got that right, has been edifying to you. Up next in our fellowship teaching series, we're going to do a teaching on holiness and obedience. I'm putting those two together as the fourth part of the gospel. They really do go together. To be holy is to obey, as fruit that we are born from above. So stay tuned. That'll be coming up. You can hear this audio. It'll be loaded up under our gospel link at don'tperish.com. Go there, go to the teaching blog, pouring out material every day for the saints, because we love God, we love our neighbors, and we want to make sure that you have edifying material to help you in your walk. So thanks for everybody that listened in and will listen later. Till next time, this has been Brother Jim. We love you all. Let his truth go out. May lives be made new and transformed from above. And may God be praised.